Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is Dusty Slay. I'm your host, and I'm pumped to be here. It is very exciting. What a day. I'm wearing this hat. It's a McDonald's logo of some sort, and it says McPoison on it. It's not the right kind of hat for me. I don't even know if I can wear it the whole podcast, but I'm seeing myself in it, and it's a real small hat for my head, and that's why I don't wear it. I like the logo. I like that because I'm anti-McDonald's, and it's not just McDonald's. I don't want to just come down on McDonald's alone. It's this whole industry of things being called food that are not food. I mean, it's like McDonald's is not food. Burger King's not food. I mean, it might have used to been. And that's what I think. All these things started from a good place. And then they just kept going and going. And it's just bad for us. It's bad for all of us. We shouldn't be eating it. And that's what I've seen from some people talking about how the prices are going up. Is that's the exciting thing, is now maybe people will be priced out of it in a sense that it was like, well, before it was like, oh, you're like making fun of people because that's all they can afford. So when you say, oh, this is just crap, then you're just kind of making fun of people that couldn't afford something better. But now it's so expensive that, people... can't afford that either. So, I don't know. I just think it's bad. I think it's bad. And I think it's bad that that's just kind of being dished out to us. It's just one of the many problems with our country now that it's like, we have so many problems that go way beyond politics. And all I ever see online is people fighting back and forth about politics. People like now are like, they're going like talking about, you know, people that voted Republican this time. They're going, oh, are things better? And it's like, better than what? It's like, better than the last president? It's like, no, they're not better. But they weren't good then either. It's like, I just feel like we got to stop this whole my guy is better than your guy thing. And just look around and go, what do we need for ourselves? It's like, because I just look around and I go, well, no, it's not better now than it was during the last president. But it's like, during the last president, it wasn't, it's like, it's never better. I think there's like moments where things are better for certain people. There's moments, there's glimmers. There's spots of hope where we go, okay, this will be it. I mean, I remember in like 2020, I believe I was riding down the road and there was a speech and Biden was giving the speech and he said, if you elect me president, we'll cure cancer. Now that soundbite didn't get a lot of heat, but I remember hearing it and I remember being like, oh man, what a claim. Now I never expected that we would cure cancer, you know, by whatever definition that is. But it's like, it didn't happen. It's a big claim. Didn't happen. None of the things ever happen. None of the things ever happen that they tell us that either side tells us is going to happen. And everything always gets worse. It's like, you know, RFK was supposed to come in and supposed to do all these things to clean up food, which was very exciting because you're like, I hope they do take out the additives. Like, you know, I don't know the brands. I don't want to get in trouble by naming brands, but there was some cereal brand that was going to take this ingredient out. They were like, all right, now we're going to take this bad ingredient out. And the thing about it was that brand of cereal, they send cereal to both Canada and the United States. And when they send it to Canada, Canada doesn't allow that ingredient, so the food doesn't contain it. But in America, it does contain it. Where it's like, hey, so you have the ability to make it without that ingredient. You've had the ability all along, yet you're still putting it in the cereal for us. And yet we're like fighting about piddly little stuff. And it's like, hey, we're all being poisoned all the time. And it's so crazy. It's so crazy. But it just feels like it never will get better in that sense. You just have to do your best to grow your own stuff. And you have to do your best to fight the ridicule that you'll get from everyone around you, including members of your own family, for trying to eat the right way. I got members of my family, because I have, you know, stomach problems, and I'm always trying to, and for the most part, I feel fine, right? It's like I go on about my life and it's all fine. And I've been to the doctor. A couple people commented last week's episode that I should see a doctor. I've been to the doctor. I went to a gastroenterologist. I don't know what these terms are for these people, but these guys examine the stomach. And when I ruptured my appendix in 2021, I had an endoscopy and a colonoscopy. I had both of those done. So, you know, he just looked at, you know, what I had done. And I had, you know, lots of tests done that I don't have celiac, I don't have IBS, I don't have all these things. So, I told him that I just burp uncontrollably, that I have just wild burping fits. And he prescribed me Gas-X. Now, I didn't know that that's what he was doing. When he said he used the active ingredient in Gas-X, so it seemed like a fancy thing. And I was like, oh, okay, I could get into that, you know. And then I asked the receptionist as I'm leaving. They didn't even schedule me a follow-up. The guy never attempted to even help me. And I go, hey, what was the thing that he recommended? And she said the word. I go, where'd I get that? She goes, oh, it's Gas-X. And I go, oh, okay. But I tried it. You know, I went and bought the Gas-X, and I was hopeful. I thought, well, you know, if this does what he says it'll do, that'll be really great. But it didn't. None of the things do. And I've been to, you know, several doctors, and they'll do tests, and they'll go, oh, it sounds like you have this. I had a doctor do that one time. He goes, sounds like you have this. And I go, okay, great. And he goes, well, we're going to do a test. And so he did the test, and then he called me with the results. And at the time, I didn't have insurance. I go, so what's that going to cost? He goes, I don't know. And they don't know what anything costs. They never know what anything costs. And they just want to play it cool, too. Doctors love to play it cool. Oh, I don't know what it costs, you know, because they're used to everyone having insurance of some kind. So it doesn't matter. It just goes to insurance. They have no concern for the cost of things because, well, it's just going to the insurance. Your insurance will cover it. And they even have things. I read this, that there was a guy who got picked up by an ambulance. I don't remember the numbers exactly, but he got picked up by an ambulance, and the ambulance, you know, cost him like $1,000 because he had a deductible or something. But they were like, you know, if you didn't have insurance, the ambulance would only be $500. And he goes, well, could I just not file it on my insurance? And they go, no, you have insurance, so you have to file it on your insurance. But because it's on your insurance, you know, they charge you this amount of money because that's what it costs with the insurance. But if you didn't have insurance, you'd get an uninsured discount and it would cost this. It's all a scam. It's all a scam, yet we're arguing about this and that. There always is, that's the whole thing. The people in power, they must keep us arguing about piddly little things, about race and stuff like that. We got to argue about that, about political parties, about, you know, just this and that. so that we never actually address what they're doing. Why? I read another thing. A guy, every time he got a raise at work, the insurance that he was getting from work went up so much that it negated his raise. So he kept getting these raises, but his insurance costs kept going up. And that's just what's happening out here all the time. People in Florida were being priced out of their homes because their homeowner's insurance was becoming so much. And it's like insurance is just a scam. Insurance makes the cost of everything go up. And just like student loans, I feel bad for people who took out student loans. I didn't go to college, so I've never had a student loan. I've never had any student debt. Of course, I don't have a degree to fall back on for any reason, but I've never had student debt. But, you know, you read these stories or see these videos of people who are like, I've been paying on my student loan debt for 2 years only to find out that I now owe more than I did when I went in. And then there are people always commenting, well, if you're making the minimum payment, of course, that's what's going to happen. But it's like it's predatory loans that went out to these people that didn't have guidance. And not everybody has good guidance. It's like, I don't know, this has not been a funny podcast at all, but I don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, I do know what I'm talking about, but I'm just complaining about stuff. This is the Are We Having a Good Time podcast. But, they take out these loans. And they don't know what they're doing, and they go to school, and they just, you know, they just mess around out here, and they, you know, they get hammered, and, you know, they, you know, and then they get out, and they get jobs. If they're lucky, they get jobs, but then they're strapped with the student loan debt forever. Meanwhile, the student loan itself is what's making college so expensive. Have you been to a college campus? I was at Auburn University not long ago. I had a great time, but man, that city, that campus is beautiful. I mean, it's just unbelievable out there. And then you cross over to Opelika, my hometown, and you instantly can notice the difference. And I don't know. I don't know where the money's coming from, but it just seems like money rolling into that campus is trickling on into other things, and it is like unbelievable. But hey, we're having a good time out here. I didn't have gigs this weekend, so I wasn't anywhere. Just in case you didn't get through the whole podcast last week, I was in Wilkes-Barre and Reading, PA. Had a great time, great cities. This weekend, I'll be in Hartford, Connecticut at the Funny Bone. I've done that club many times, but only once as a headliner, so I'll be back there. I got some friends up in Hartford, some people I used to work with at Hyman's. They already told me they got tickets, so they'll be coming. They've been every time that I've been to the Hartford Funny Bone, and they're always fun. I'm pumped to be going back. I'm taking Zach Townsend. He's from the area. And so, so that'll be exciting. He's going to headline one show on his own, getting ready to announce, my new tour coming up, getting excited about that. So the rest of the dates of the year and going on into next year will be announced with probably more added at some point. But I am, you know, I'm doing, you know, just kind of what I want to do as my schedule, where I don't, I'm not just trying to be gone all the time. I'm trying to be home with my family, help raise my kids and that sort of thing. And, so, you know, I'm trying to work a little harder on the podcast, but, you know, it's like, I don't know. The podcast is a place for me to go and complain about what's going on, you know, and express my views in a way that I can't, because, with comedy, you know, it's just fun. It's just fun. I want the comedy show to be fun and funny, but my podcast is, I'm here to complain. I'm here to fill you in on other details of my life and let you know that, hey, all that opening monologue that I did is seems complaining, but my overall message is that, you know, we are all the same as people out here. I mean, we're all the same. It is us against the 1%, right? And that is where it's at. And it's like, we have to put our petty differences aside to see what we actually want as a people. What do we want? I mean, I feel like we'd like to pay less taxes, and we'd like to have more freedom, and we'd like to just be able to live our lives and raise our kids and make sure they get good educations and, you know, practice the religion that we want to practice, preferably Christianity, but practice the one we want to practice. I say preferably because, you know, that's my religion, right? But I'm not going to fight you over your religion. I would like to bring into mind, Jesus says, he is the way. He's the only way to heaven. And so I want to pull people into that so that we all go to heaven together. But, you know, we should all have the freedom to practice whatever kind of religion we want, whatever kind of relationship we want, whether we agree with everybody's different types of relationships. You should be able to do it. As long as it's legal, you should be able to do it. And that's what it's all about. I think that's what we all want. I have friends from all walks of life, and I love them. You know, we may not all agree on everything. In fact, there are a lot of people in my life who don't agree with what I believe. I mean, the depths of my beliefs. I mean, you know, I joke about a lot of stuff, but, you know, I do believe that there probably should be 13 months. I believe that our seasons are off a little bit because our calendar's a little messed up. I do believe it. And I don't believe we went to the moon. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people that don't agree with me on that. And I am not mad at them for not agreeing with it. We can all disagree and still be friends with each other. It's real easy to do. You just gotta love each other. And then you go, hey, I still love them as a person, even though I don't agree with them. Because deep down, I think we all want the best for everybody. We've just been brainwashed in a way to think that if someone believes differently than I do, then they're evil and they want bad things for people. But I think deep down, we all want good things for each other. We've just been told that people who don't want what we want are evil people, so therefore we shouldn't want good things for them. I went to church this week. I've not been to a church in a long time, but I grew up going to church here and there. And, you know, we never were strong church members, but, you know, where my dad lives, my grandparents went to that church, and my dad went, and my aunt Kat went there, my cousin Charlotte went there, and Kelly and Brandon, and my family went to this church, and I was a part of it. I went there as a kid, you know, and then off and on through my teens, I was in church, and went to various churches with my mom, and then I went to different things, campus life, and so I just wanted my daughter to see what church is. Now, I wasn't into the church that we went to, and I may not ever find it. Someone commented on my Twitter because I watched a superhero movie that I liked. I'd like to talk about that. And he said, oh, it's good to finally see that you like something that came out in the last 30 years. And I think, you know, he was joking, and I was joking a little bit back with him, but I think he thought I was taking it more serious, and maybe I was. But I think that's kind of how I feel about a lot of churches, too, is it's like, you know, I wish they were a little more old school. This one had a guy playing guitar and another guy playing keyboard, and the guy playing guitar and the guy playing keyboard, they were very good. And the guy playing guitar was also singing. Great voice, really good. But the songs were so dramatic and sad, and they were all about how we need Jesus, right? And I agree that we do, more than anything. I agree that we do. But I just feel like when you're in the church, the song should be like, praising Jesus. You know, I just feel like we're there to worship. you know, so it should be songs of praise. And I just felt like these were sadder songs. These were songs about our needs versus about our thanks. And then the preacher came out and, you know, he's dressed, you know, he's an older guy, I don't know, probably my age, or a little older maybe, maybe younger, who knows. But he's a middle-aged guy and he's, you know, dressed hip, shirt unbuttoned, denim shirt unbuttoned, sleeves rolled back a little bit, seeing the tattoo there on the lower arm. I know a lot of Christians have tattoos. I'm not hating on it. I'm not into it, especially from the preacher. I'm not into it. Just a little bit of an old school Southern Christian in me, I think, but I'm not into it. And and then, you know, he was and he comes out after we've listened to two long, very drawn out, somber songs. He comes out and he goes, "All right, how we doing?" And everybody just kind of gives, you know, and he's like shocked that the crowd's not amped. And I'm like, well, this music just brought us down. It felt like you brought us down into a low vibration of sadness. And then you go, "Oh, how we doing?" You turn the lights up real bright and you go, "How you doing?" And it's like, well, we're a little sad right now. And, but me and my daughter are there. And then he starts talking about, you know, the Ten Commandments, and I guess they've been going through this series where they've been going through them. So he grazed over the first, four. On the fourth was the Sabbath day, and people always say this. Nowadays, I hear this a lot. They say the first three is about serving God, and then, you know, and then the fourth is for us. The fourth is the Sabbath, and that's for us. I disagree. You know, to a degree, I think it is for us. It is a commandment for us to make sure we have a day of rest. But the it's very detailed, you know, and I think it's, you know, it is for worship of God. It is for us to rest, but to reflect and to worship God. And I do think it's important. Now, as I say this, I don't think we should buy. I don't think we should spend on this day. That being said, I'm not saying I don't do it. I'm not saying I keep it right. I'm not saying that because I don't. My Sabbaths have become a bit of a mess. I used to be very good at, like, not going out and buying things, not spending money on those days, but I don't know. It's become a bit of a mess. Now, because, you know, I believe that the Sabbath is on Saturday. I don't know that the day necessarily matters other than the Bible says, remember the Sabbath. But I don't know, right? But I believe that even by our own calendars, Sunday is the first day of the week. So Saturday would be the seventh, so that would be the Sabbath day. You know, I don't know that it matters if you keep it on Sunday, but now I travel on Saturdays to go to the next gig. So, you know, I'm spending money at the airport, I'm buying coffees, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and it just becomes a day. But, you know, even before that, I was still messing it up. So anyway, I disagreed there, but then he got into the next one, honor thy mother and thy father, right? And I agreed with what he was saying about it for a long time. I was just a little bored with it because I felt like this is something, you know, I'm already into, and I've already feel like I got a good gist of this, where it's like honor is not necessarily meaning that you have to agree with what your parents say. It doesn't mean that, it doesn't even mean that you have to like them. But I do believe that means that you have to be respectful of your parents and you have to, you know, honor their name and not trash them and stuff. And I agree with that. And I appreciate that message. But again, a little bored. And then he got a little deeper into it. And he started talking about kind of this message out into other people and, you know, people that you don't like. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm guilty of a bit of trash talk. My goodness, do I love to trash talk. I don't think of myself as a gossip. I don't think I'm like, ooh, I got some juicy info. But I don't know that I'm not. And I can be a bit judgmental. And I'm a bit of a trash talker. I've said many times that I trash talk with people that I fully expect when I'm not around, they're trash talking me, and I don't even mind it, right? But man, he just got into that and then just certain stuff, and I just felt convicted about it. And I just thought, I felt really bad, and I just felt like that this trash talk, kind of judging other people. Comics are very bad about it. Comics will see somebody else getting something that we don't think they deserve or that we think we should have got, like a booking or a special or a late night spot or anything, a TV show. We'll see them get that and we'll go, how'd they get that? They're not even that funny, you know? And even if those critiques are right, which they often are, it doesn't make it right. And I just felt real convicted about it. And I just thought, you know, if I spent more time actually praying for the people that I'm trash talking, it might benefit them and it might benefit me. And then I would not be sowing seeds of bitterness, right? Because I'm not bitter, because things are going very well for me. But what happens if they take a turn career-wise, and I've just been out here trash-talking, I'm sowing these seeds of bitterness in my life. And it really convicted me. And I don't know that I've been doing better yet, but I've been thinking about it more. Because it's also hard to break those things. Because much like drinking, right? When you're drinking all the time, you start to build up friends that you drink with. And then when you quit drinking, you lose those friends. Not because they don't want to be your friends. Not because you don't want to be their friends. But now you're... the thing that you have in common with each other is that you've bonded over kind of trash talking a little bit. And it's fun because sometimes you find your groups, you know. I think that's why people find cliques, is because you find your group that agrees with you on things, and then you guys can go, oh, look at this, look at this. You send each other a meme or something, you go, ha 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 ha, look at this. And you build up these bonds, and it is real fun. So it becomes hard to break it, you know. And I think we can even do that with politicians, you know. As much as I want to believe that all our politicians are reptilians, and maybe they are. Maybe they are all reptilian shapeshifters and demonic. Maybe they're not. Maybe the politicians are just human beings, right? I mean, maybe they are just human beings, so that when I'm even trash talking a politician, I'm still doing that same thing. And the deeper heart of it all, I had a preacher say this one time, a long time ago, to me. It really convicted me. And but you know, since then I've stuffed it deep down into myself, and I go, I don't want to hear that again. But he was talking about like yelling at a person in traffic. You're like yelling at another car, calling them stupid and being like, you can't drive. And not even if you're calling them that where they can hear it, but you're calling them that in your car, in your own privacy. And it's like, you think about God stopping you and going, hey, that's my child you're talking about. And it's just like, man, it's like we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus. That's what's great about Jesus. There is no background necessary. There is no race necessary. There is no, you're not male or female in Jesus. We are all one in Jesus. And that's amazing that there is no criteria. There is no conversion necessarily. You just, you know, need to believe, need to repent. And as Jesus says to so many people, your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. And then I think you need to begin to read your Bible, read through Genesis, get into Exodus, and then into Leviticus, and then stop eating pork and shellfish. But that's, you know, that's down the road. It's down the road. And then reject some of the modern day holidays and start celebrating the biblical holidays. But again, down the road. Don't stress yourself about it right away. Plenty of that to come. And other Christians will disagree with you. So disagree with me. So it's easy to find that. But hear what I'm saying, though. So in the end, I felt like I was just like, I don't know. I don't know what this podcast episode has turned into, but I just felt like I was like, even through all, because I was praying to myself in my pew there. I'm like praying to not be so righteous in myself, to be like, oh, here we go, just talking about stuff I already know about, you know. I was praying that I wouldn't be like that, that I would hear the message. And it just really felt like, even though I wasn't so impressed with the church, I wasn't so impressed with the preacher, no offense to that preacher, they could be a listener of my podcast for all I know, and I just saw one of their sermons. You could come see one of my comedy shows and it not be my best show, and you go, that's the guy people like? They like that guy? So I'm not judging him. I'm just letting you, I'm being honest. Through all that, God was still able to get a message to me that I needed to hear on that day. And I drove to this church. This church is very close to my house. I drove to the church and there was no one in the parking lot. And I go, well, that's weird. And then I pulled up to their sign and their sign said they were temporarily meeting somewhere else. And I was in that moment, I was like, I'm not even going to go. I got it. That's 10 minutes. I'm going to be late now. I'm not even going to go. And then I thought, nah, I really want my daughter to go. So I'm going to do it. And I did. And I was glad I did. And I appreciated the message. And if you're a listener of my podcast, I'm sorry I've said those things about you. But I'm just old school about my church. You know, I like a choir. I like to see those people come out of that back room in those robes, and I like to pull a hymnal out of the pew and read along with it, you know, and sing along. I like that. I like an old lady on an organ just playing and on the piano. I don't know which one. I don't know the difference, but I like it. That's what I like. And then I like, you know, I like them just getting down, and then I like them leaving, going back to the back, taking off their robes, and then slowly slipping into the congregation to sit with their family. And then an old preacher to come out in a suit and deliver a message that whether he's right or wrong, whether he has any seminary background, he has some passion behind it and feels like he has the Holy Spirit power in them. These days, it feels like a lot of preachers are real, they're real sweet talking and they're real cool, you know. I don't like a cool preacher. I like a rugged guy that's been through it. I feel like this guy's been through the mud. But as I was just shown, these people, they're only vessels. And I got to not focus on the vessel and focus on what's inside the vessel. The spirit that lives inside of them. And that's a message to me. That's something that I need to accept. That's something I got to reckon with out here. You know what I mean? All right, let's switch it up. Somebody on this podcast, I started talking about going through the Marvel series again. I love the old Marvel movies, and so I've been going back through the series. I just watched Iron Man 3. I talked about it, talked about how I didn't mind the Mandarin thing, and then I watched on Disney Plus, they have like a little Disney one-shot or whatever it's called, Marvel one-shot, about the Mandarin going to prison and Trevor and his whole journey, and that was pretty fun, 15 minutes or so, pretty fun, pretty funny. And then I watched Thor, The Dark World, And I like that. I enjoyed that one. I thought that one was a lot of fun. I forget what it was even about. But I enjoyed it. I don't know. They all run together. But then somebody had said that if I watch Shang-Chi, it would give me more insight to the Mandarin and the gang known as the Ten Rings. So I watched it. And I got to tell you, I loved it. And the part that I liked the least was kind of the more superhero parts of it. It all had a little fantasy and superhero about it, but I am really into I'm into Asian stuff, like Japanese and Chinese type things. Samurai, kung fu, karate. I mean, I really like Cobra Kai, and I know that Cobra Kai is, takes place in LA, but the overall message, at least with Daniel LaRusso, is that, his life was altered in a positive way by a Japanese man and his old kind of culture of peace, bonsai trees, and karate, right? And I like Ip Man. Ip Man is a really great kung fu movie. Now, the first one is about Japan invading China, and a bit of a dark tale there. I've read a little bit about that, bit dark. But the movie, really great. I like a lot of those kung fu movies like that because I like that old, ancient China culture, and Shang-Chi just got me into it. And I was like, whoa. And after I did it, I started listening to, I went on Spotify and I found a traditional Chinese music playlist. And I just was like, oh, yeah. And it's just like, it's like classical, but, Chinese classical in a way. And I really love it. And I started, I've been using ChatGPT a lot, I'll be honest with you. But I've been using it for like Google, basically. And I was looking for, it made me want to take a trip to China, but I didn't want to go to the city. My brother-in-law lives in Beijing, my wife's brother. I didn't want to go to the city. I wanted to go to some rural part. I don't know if you ever watched the TV show Louis, but there was an episode where he went to China, and he went to the city first, and then he ended up like kind of on the countryside eating a meal with some Chinese farmers. And I just love that. But ChatGPT was not very positive about that kind of trip. They said, there's some fears that China could not let you leave and stuff like that. So I was like, okay. And then my wife tells me that Japan, which also I'm really into Japan. And I don't mean to, I'm not making some joke here, but I like sushi a lot. And I feel like Japan would be the place to get the best fresh fish sushi. But I like their honor culture. If you've ever seen videos of their subway, their subways are just completely silent, completely clean. They have a respect for themselves and the people them around them to where they won't litter. They pick up trash. It's clean. People are polite to each other. And they just care about everyone around them, which I am just so into. And apparently they have a lot of hot springs. And I just, my chiropractor had recently been to Japan and is now selling Japanese sleeping mats, which I talked about a while back on this podcast, that when I quit drinking, that's what I was into. I was trying to get into sleeping on the floor, and I was looking for a Japanese sleeping mat. I bet I could find it now. Well, I know I could find it now because my chiropractor sells them, but I bet I could find it on Amazon now. But back, 13 years ago when I was looking to do this, they were nowhere to be found. But I don't know. It got me so into it. I just felt so inspired by it. Like, even Buddhism. Like, obviously, I'm not into Buddhism because, you know, I'm a Christian. And I don't want any, I used to be into kind of like the Buddha statues, even though I never had one. I don't want that kind of stuff around my house. I don't think that stuff's good. But Buddhism, the meditation culture, I feel like we could stand to have more discipline and as Christians and meditate more. I think if we all meditated and fasted more, I think we would all be healthier and all be closer to God. I don't believe in meditating and clearing your mind per se. I believe in meditating on God's word, as the Bible says, so that you're not emptying your mind to be filled with something else, but you are freeing it of clutter to fill with the word of God, which I think would all be very good for us. And I know it's hard to do because, man, life is hectic. Life is hectic. If you have kids, you have jobs, you have responsibilities, it's hectic out here. There ain't no time for it. Nobody's got time for anything, you know, but people do binge watch a lot of TV, and I understand why people do it, because it's like what I like to call zombieing out. I mean, sometimes when I've just been doing a lot of traveling, I love to just zombie out on my phone. I'm just scrolling because it turns my brain off, and that's probably really bad. I guarantee they have algorithms and they have systems built to that they know we want to do that. We want to turn our brains off, so we're probably more susceptible to, what do they call it, where people pump in, I don't know. They pump in messages and advertisements in your brain, subconscious, into your subconscious without you knowing it. And so that's probably happening. But I understand why people do it. But I think if we did take that time, and I want to try to put this into practice too, but if we took that time to meditate and pray, I think we would feel a lot better. And fasting, I think we would feel a lot better. But what do I know? You know what I mean? Who knows? I figure out my diet, and then I show up at the comedy club and eat a bunch of candy, and then I go into some kind of burping fit, and I just think my stomach is like, listen, this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to treat me like this. That's what I think my stomach's saying. So the Day of Atonement is coming up. I don't know exactly what day. It may be already out by the time this podcast comes out. Let me just look it up real quick. Just in case. Day of Atonement 2025, Wednesday, October 20. It's at sunset on Wednesday, and it ends on sunset on Thursday. So that's the Day of Atonement. My family that is also into the same type of religion that I'm in says that it's not a mandated day to fast. It's supposed to be just a day to be somber and to reflect on what's going on. I like to fast. I've always fasted on the Day of Atonement. For the last, 12 years or so. I've always done that. I'm looking forward to it because I think I could use a fast day, and this forces me into it, so I like that. But I would encourage anybody. I mean, this podcast will come out on Thursday, so depending on when you're listening to it, but I would encourage you to do it. Do a fast day. Do a fast day and a pray. Pray for this country to turn itself around. Pray for a great awakening. A great awakening in Christianity, and not in a political way. You know, we don't need political Christians. You know, not that they shouldn't be involved. I do think Christians should be involved, but I just don't think the Christian movement should be led by politicians. You know, it should be led by people and men and women of God. That's what I think. This has been a heavy religious episode. I realize that. And I'm sorry in some ways, but in other ways, I'm like, I don't know. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to be into it. And I'm just sharing some personal experience. But Shang-Chi, very good movie. I recommend it. I mean, like, it's not going to win an Oscar. But if you like superhero movies and you like kung fu movies, I think it's a good combination. Again, the end of the movie, I'm not going to give it away, but the end of the movie got a little more, like, superhero-like, and that's kind of where it lost me. But, you know, but it still, even then, had some great moments, and I felt like it had good heart to it and some redemption arcs for people, which I love. I love redemption arcs in movies and in stories. I feel like so much is lost in movies these days, stuff like that, where you're just watching something and then nothing changes about their character. They never get better. And it's just like, it's the key to a good movie and show is like showing the change and showing the evolution of the character. I think a lot of it's lost. A lot of heart's gone. But you know why it's gone? This is my theory on why it's gone. Just based on the few projects that I've done with, bigger companies. It's that it's like, you write something, you're excited about it, and everybody, they just keep taking the soul out of it. They keep correcting you so much that the soul is taken out. They want everything to be so perfect that there is no grit to it. There is no soul to it. It's just like music today. It's so overproduced that there is no grittiness. I've talked about this many times on this podcast, and I don't know if it's true. But Neil Young, my friend told me Neil Young would do a produced album, a well-produced album, and put it out, and it would be a big hit, and everybody would like it. And then he would follow up pretty soon with a more grittier album that he, him and his band just played three times in the studio and then recorded it. And I like that. I like that there is a more gritty version of stuff. But all that's gone. Even the gritty that's out there is manufactured. It's like everything's so fake because they have ways to make everything. That's why with, stuff that I put out, albums and specials, it's like, yeah, when I do a special, yeah, we record two in a night and we try to use the best jokes out of them. But we're not doctoring it. We're not going, all right, I didn't get any laughs on this, but let's pump in some laughs. We're like, we do the two shows and whichever one they laugh the most at, let's use this, but it's like, I want it to be real, but that's also why, the specials, I want you to watch them. I want you to go to YouTube. I want you to go to Netflix and watch them. And they are good. I love them. I think they're great. I put a lot of work into my specials, but the live show is where it's at. The specials are just an advertisement for the live show. It's like, watch that and then come see the live show. Because that's where it all goes down. I mean, last night I did a show at Zany's. I'm doing one tonight, but this is I'm recording on Tuesday. I did one on Monday, and I did the Nate Land Showcase, and it was great. I got loose with it, and I just let my, I used my jokes as a base, but I let my own natural sense of humor just carry me through these jokes and take me to new places, and it's just fun. The laughter gets contagious. People really get into it. It's just fun. That's what's fun about it. Live comedy is hands down the best. It's the best. I wanted to read this. I don't even know if I can find it now. But I was in... Wow. Okay. I don't know. I might have lost it. It's too bad. I will just tell you what I saw if I can't find it. I don't know how I got so far down here. I have so many. Okay, here we go. Well, this is just some notes, so maybe I didn't even need to read it. But I'm going through the Charlotte airport. which I've, I don't know if you're aware, but I've voted it the least good big airport. I have to go to Charlotte a lot because American Airlines, we have a lot of American Airlines flights out of Nashville. So I fly American a lot, and I often connect. The airports I go to the most, aside from Nashville, are Charlotte, Chicago, and Dallas, because that's where the majority of the connections. I basically fly American Airlines unless I can get a direct, and then I'll take almost any flight that will get me there directly, except Spirit Airlines. I'll connect before I'll take a Spirit flight, but anyway. So I voted Charlotte the least good big airport. Now, I realized later that it's this one particular wing of the airport. I think it's the E-gates. And that whole wing is just a total dump. All of the moving sidewalks are broken, and there's a lot. It's a really long way to get there, and you need those moving sidewalks because otherwise you're just walking a really long way, but they're all broken. There's construction everywhere. Now, they are renovating, so hopefully it comes out something really nice, but right now it's just complete garbage, and it's busy. It's a busy airport, so there's just a ton of people moving, and I don't know if you've ever walked in groups with other people, but It's the worst thing I've ever seen. People, if there's three people, they'll walk side by side, and they'll all have their little rolling bags, and then they'll just take up the whole aisle, and then people, rather than going around them, will just back up behind them like it's traffic on the highway, and then nobody can go anywhere, and the whole thing backs up because, you know, three people are just talking to themselves, and it's so annoying. Now, I'm at the airport this past time, and I'm going to the E-gate, and it's, like, backed up. We're, like, in standstill traffic. Like, it is so jam-packed. And then eventually I make my way up there, and what happened is a guy has this big dog, some kind of lab-looking dog, beautiful dog, but he has this big dog in the airport that he's just walking on a leash. I don't know how that's allowed. And the dog has taken a huge dump right in the middle of the thing. So the guy is now blocking off half the walkway, half the only walkway we have to get through. He's blocking off half of it with his dog and him while he picks up his dog's huge dump, huge pile of dump on the carpet with a plastic bag. So he's going to clean up the dump off the carpet with his plastic bag, but then there's still going to be dog poop remnants left on the carpet that people, after this guy walks away, are going to be stepping in. And it's like, this is third world country stuff. We don't have to live like this with people's barnyard animals at the airport. I don't know how we've gotten to this place. I don't know how we've gotten to this place with animals. I just do not understand it. It's like everybody has animals in their houses. They're carrying them with them on planes, and they're just taking fat dumps everywhere. And this guy, it's like, what are you going to do with that? You're going to throw that fat dog dump? I'm sorry to keep saying that over and over again, but you're just going to throw that in the trash can at the airport? It's like, geez, guy. It's not the dog's fault. I don't hate the dog. I'm mad at the guy, though. And it's just like, we don't have to live like this, guys. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think they're doing that in Japan. I don't know, but I do want to take a trip to Japan. I want to take a trip to rural China. But they say that's unsafe. They say that based on stuff that I've read, people say that it's not necessarily unsafe in those areas. Like the Chinese people that live in those areas are not likely going to murder you. They're honorable people. I don't know. This is what I'm reading. But it's like they say the roads are really hard to navigate because they're not really mapped out very well. and it's the government officials. So once again, as with every country, it's the government ruining it for everyone. If everybody just got to be normal people without being controlled by government, people always say it's religions that is ruining everything, but it's governments using religion. There's always bad people. That's why it's like the idea of world peace is such a silly notion, because it's just never going to happen. I mean, I guess until the end when Jesus comes back, but it's just never going to happen. There's no world peace. We might have relative peace, but people are always going to be trying to come after somebody. And so it's too bad. I wish there were more peace. I wish everybody could just get it. But it's like even in just a neighborhood, there's always somebody doing something that you're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Don't you understand? Don't you like read the room, look around and see that we're not all doing that. And you don't need to be doing that either. And I don't know. There's nowhere to get peace. I think somebody said that the Unabomber, that's what happened to the Unabomber, that he escaped to the woods to find peace. And even in the woods, there were still planes flying over. There is no escape. My friend was telling me that he went to, did a trip through South America. Him and his wife did a trip through South America. And he's like, they're out deep out in these forests on tours, and people would have, you know, satellite internet, you know. There's no escaping. It never, ever goes away. It's just like the technology continues to creep in on us. Now they're trying to create IDs so that you have to have an ID to get on the internet. And that's, you know, that's going to be the end of internet freedom. So that's probably coming. And, you know, but it's all creeping in all the time. And it, you know, but there is still ways to live simple. I mean, I got a nice spot where I'm at now, but it's like even, you know, at the cabin in McMinnville, it seems pretty far out there, but I'm next to a road. The road's kind of a cut through, and people come through there with their loud mufflers, and you hear people in their leaf blowers and lawnmowers and dogs barking and guns shooting all the time. And then at my house here, I've got a 3-acre plot now, and I'm off the main road, but still, I'm close enough to the airport to where there's airplanes flying over my house all the time. It's like, peace is over. Peace is over. And so there may be some spots, there may be a few places left, but, you know, they're getting moved in on. I feel like this has been a great podcast. I don't, you know, I know sometimes I'm talking about things that all seem negative and whatever, but this is good. It feels good for me to be able to say it all and then go out to the public, potentially the world, to see. I wish I were getting that many views, actually I don't. I've always said I want enough fame to sell tickets to my comedy shows, but I want to keep it low. I want to keep it low so I can live a normal life. And because people, you know, it gets to them. You see people out here, they get too famous, and it gets to them. Starts eating them up. Nobody wants that. I want to go to the restaurant and eat some food and be relatively anonymous to most people in there. And then the people that do see me, they go, hey, we watch your videos. You're really funny. I appreciate what you do. And then I go, hey, thank you. Thanks for watching my stuff. And we say hey to each other. We have some casual small talk, which I'm into. And then we move on with our lives, you know. That's what we want. That's what we all want, you know, just to hang. Because I'm, you know, this is what I like to do. This thing that I'm doing on the podcast, it's what I like to do in real life, just chit-chat with people, which is why I like cigars. I've not been doing cigars lately. Taking a little break off them again. And I've also been on a bit of a, I've been on quite a weed break. I honestly can't even tell you when the last time I did weed was. Weed, the desire to do weed just kind of left me one day. I still got a little liquid THC that I'll carry around with me that I used to kind of take a couple of drops at the airport. It's CBD and THC. It's very low dose, but just a relaxing kind of thing. But I would do it at the airport on flights home, just kind of relax, listen to music. And then I'm like, nah, it's kind of just kind of started doing the opposite for me. Like I'd be fairly relaxed and then I would do it. And I'm like, oh, I'm like less relaxed now. So just the desire is gone, really. I actually gave some to a homeless guy the other day. I had some in my truck and I saw a homeless guy and I was like, I don't have anything to give this guy, but I bet he would appreciate this. And then I said that to someone and they go, oh, you're probably just contributing to that guy's drug habit. And I go, listen, if that guy's on drugs and that's why he's on the street, weed is really the least of that guy's worries. I mean, that guy, probably appreciate a little toke at night when he's laying in his tent on some cardboard. You know what I mean? It's like, he'd probably appreciate that. And that's what I'm all about. I've actually done this a couple of times, but I saw a homeless guy sitting outside of a grocery store. So I go in, I did this the other day. I don't like to tell people that I do this, but I do like to discuss creative approaches to give things to homeless people, you know? And you see people and they look rough. And so I go into a gas station or a grocery store and I'll go in and I'll try to find, you know, like some healthier, like a sandwich or something, or some chicken. And I'll try to get a side and then I'll try to get a dessert, maybe a donut or something. And then I'll try to get a water. And then I would get them like a tall boy, like a tall Budweiser. And then sometimes I'll get a pack of cigarettes or maybe just a Black and Mild, you know. I'm just trying to hit all the things for them. They need food. They need nourishment. They need, you know, but they probably could appreciate a little bit of a dessert. And, you know, a tall boy, if they're a real alcoholic and a tall boy, if they chug it, it might do a little something for them. I'm not trying to get them hammered out there. But, you know, I dated a girl one time. She was a nurse at the VA clinic. And she would say that these guys, some of these older men were such alcoholics that they would be prescribed like two beers a day or like a beer a day or something like that. Because if not, their body would go into detox mode while they were in the hospital and they didn't need that. So that's kind of what I try to think about with these guys. I'm like, you know, and if you got a Bible on you, try to slip that in there. I don't always have that on the road, but, you know, you just like to, you know, give them a little hope out here because, I mean, gosh, I mean, people are struggling, especially if you see them with, like, some physical ailment. I find it a little difficult these days when I'm seeing, like, completely physical able guys. Like I saw a guy out the other day with his shirt off and he was like pretty jacked, like not jacked. He was ripped. And I was like, dude, you got to put that shirt on. You got to put on a raggedy shirt because when you're in that good of shape, you're in better shape than you're trying to get money from than the people you're trying to get money from. You got to look sadder than that. But when I see people physically able to walk up and down the street, no problem. Now, I'm not saying they don't have other problems, but I do have a little bit of a hard time. But I saw a guy, he had a real like, there's a guy around here who has a real neck thing, real kind of hunchback thing. And I feel real bad for that guy because I go, I bet he's in pain and I bet it's hard for him to get work. And then this other guy had a lump on his neck, all on the side of his neck and stuff. And I go, man, it's got to be hard to get work. So anyway, so that's what I try to do. I try to mix it up. Like everybody wants to get him food, right? But I try to go, how could you make this guy's day a little bit? Can you imagine you're homeless, you're having a hard time, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, somebody pops by with a tall boy Budweiser for you. You're like, all right. Now, On the flip side, if you're like trying to get sober and somebody does that, I guess that could be detrimental. But hey, you know, you win some, you lose some. That's all I can say. But hey, we're having a good time. This weekend, I'm going to be in Hartford, Connecticut at the Funny Bone. And then I'm taking the next week off. It's the Feast of Tabernacles next week. And then the week after that, I'm going to be in Owensboro, Kentucky, but I think that may be a corporate gig, so you may not be able to come to that. And then I'll be in Wilmington, North Carolina, and Richmond, Virginia. Then I'm going to be at the University of Florida, then Akron, Ohio. Then I'll be back at Zany's. And, you know, I got a lot of dates on the calendar, a lot of things going on, so... do check it out. I appreciate you guys. We're having a good time.